I have to tell you, I'm a little bit scared of this story because I've just read an article by the chap I'm about to talk to, and it's a bit frightening. Let me take you back a few steps. A few days ago, I was watching the PBS NewsHour show on SBS. Okay, it comes from the United States. It was talking about how marketing agencies are collecting data on how we use the web, analyzing that, and then on selling it to people who might want either our business or indeed our vote. Now, I'll pop a link to the actual story on the blog later this morning. But joining me to discuss just how our web use is tracked and what it means is a bloke by the name of Stilgherrian. He is a freelance writer and commentator on all things internet and such, and joins me this morning. Stilgherrian, good morning. Welcome to ABC Gippsland.
Good morning, Jared. Glad to be with you.
You put the fear of God into me from reading this article from the Sydney Morning Herald from earlier this year.
It'll get worse.
Oh, well, that's comforting. That's good to know. How do people track our web use? I mean, I'm not talking about illicit stuff that, you know, your mother wouldn't be happy about you doing, but just the everyday stuff.
Just normal everyday stuff. I mean, the very fact that you connect to a website to look to see what is on that website, well, they know what you're looking at. So if someone's looking at the ABC website or The Age or something like that, they know it's you coming from a particular computer on the internet, and they can just see which stories you're looking at. That's the very beginning. Mm. And they can chuck a little bit of data called a cookie onto your computer, which is really just like, I don't know, as you walk into a room, someone puts a little sticker on your shoulder with a number on it. And then as you walk around the room, or if you go out of that room and come back into another one or another shop or come back the next day, they can go, this is the bloke who looked at the story about the fire in Warrnambool and the car crash in Sydney, and therefore now he's looking at this other story about Syria, but I notice he's not looking at any stories about the football. So person number 216785 doesn't like sport. And that information can be built up over time, over years, if you've been using the internet for years. And eventually, someone along the way can link that perhaps to your email address, perhaps because you enter a competition on the website, perhaps in the case of something like the Fairfax News websites, you join. I mean, you actually log in. And a classic one at the moment is a lot of the web pages on the Fairfax News sites have a video that will automatically play. Mm. And a lot of people don't like that. And they say, well, if you don't want the video to play, you can set your preferences so that the video doesn't play, but you will have to register and log in to do that, which means they've got your email address. And it means they can track all your stories.
So things can be tracked, but, I mean, silly question in some ways. Who cares? Big deal.
Well, I mean, that's one argument, is that it's all fine and people say, oh, look, that just means that if, you know, in my example here, you're not interested in sport, so we won't bother trying to sell you tickets to the AFL Grand Final. And you think that's great. You only see ads you like. But another part of this is that you can actually find out a lot about how someone makes their decisions. You can find out a lot about how they will work psychologically. And that brings us, I suppose, to the whole subject of how marketers can manipulate the ads they show you so they're more effective. And what if they're trying to sell you, say, a product that might be less healthy for you but more profitable? And I mean, that's happened before in the past.
Mm.
So politicians can get into it.
Well, this is interesting because you give an example in one of your articles of how a chain store in the United States sent coupons for baby clothes to a young woman who believed that she was pregnant, and her father got quite upset about this until about a week later he realized that she actually was pregnant. So it's this sort of almost underhand identification and marketing approach, I suppose.
Yeah, and look, people get creeped out by that. I mean, that caused problems in that family because the father, you know, how dare you, my daughter's not that kind of girl. Mm. Well, turns out she was. And it was very easy for this particular chain of stores to figure that out because they know from their massive records of everything that everybody in their stores across the United States buys ever, that if a woman under the age of 35 suddenly starts buying unscented body lotion instead of a scented body lotion. She starts buying zinc and magnesium supplements. She buys a nice big coloured rug and a nice big bag to put it all in. You go, hey, she's got a kid on the way. And they reckon they can do that with 85% accuracy. And now to get around this idea of, you know, we don't want to suddenly start sending her baby coupons, they personalise a batch of coupons they might send her, or personalise the email they send or whatever. So they will put in a few ads for cheap power tools and car accessories and a few other things. So it doesn't look like she's being targeted, but in fact they're making sure that she gets the ads.
If all of this is just about receiving annoying ads, and for those of us who go on Facebook, like I go on Facebook and I see a lot of ads, personalised ads down the side about sports activity, about cycling and triathlon, these sorts of things, because I'm going through a middle-age crisis, and so those things are there.
the Ferrari ads will turn up soon.
Well, I look forward to seeing those, I have to tell you. But if it's just about annoying ads that you probably don't want to see, and that's the extent of it, that's probably not, for many people, it's not that much of a nuisance. Is there another side to this, or a greater depth to this?
Well, as I said, there is this sense of, can I be manipulated into buying a product that's less good for me, more good for the seller? Then we get into the realm of the political parties making use of these kind of databases. And that gets more interesting, because here in Australia, the political parties are exempt from the Privacy Act. So they can collect data without telling you about it, without you having a right to see it and a right to collect it and so on. And again, one argument is, well, that's so they can better serve you. If they know that you have a concern about education in your local area because you've got a six-year-old kid, well, they'll make sure that education and more funding for schools comes up at the next election. But at the same time, when you combine it with psychological information about how best they might persuade you to change your vote, it starts to get into the question of, well, hang on, is this for, whose benefit is this for? Is it for my benefit? Or is it for the benefit of the local politician who wants to get re-elected, which is, of course, their prime job?
There was an interesting part on the program I saw which got me thinking about this, was that by mapping people's subscriptions to magazines, by mapping their shopping data, by mapping their, and this is all online, of course, by mapping the fact that they own a particular type of car, or they've looked at a particular type of car online, that there may be, with a more thorough analysis than we can describe here, they can perhaps say, well, maybe this person is a liberal but can be swung to vote for Republican. So it's actually very targeted, and they were going block by block in a US city to actually say, well, these 10 people here are worth talking to because we can get their votes. And this is in the political context, of course. So it was quite a sophisticated analysis, I suppose.
And it already happens in Australia. The Labor Party has a database called Electrack, and the Liberals have one called Feedback. And they have things in that which goes down to the level of, you know, noting which political meetings you might have been at when anyone door knocks you during a political campaign. And this was revealed relatively recently, because it came up in the last Victorian state election, when some people who shouldn't have perhaps had access to this database did. But for example, there was a voter in Thornbury, in Melbourne. There was a note on the database to say that she was having trouble paying her rent and bills, and the landlord says she's, in arrears and in a dispute. Another voter, it was recorded that they'd made a complaint against their neighbour. Another one, they actually had on the database that someone in the family had prostate cancer and had blood in their urine. Now, this is suddenly getting down to kind of the political party is recording really quite personal details.
So just to conclude, because we have to move on, in terms of protecting one's privacy through these things, do we just not go on the web, or do we just not enter surveys online? We don't go shopping online. What do we do?
Well, there's a few things. One is, don't fill out surveys unless, you're really sure where the data is going and it's for something that is of value to you. I mean, the idea of, hey, we'll put you in for a $100 gift voucher somewhere, well, that's, not much chop, big deal. You're not going to win it anyway. to be realistic. There are ways to turn on more privacy settings in your web browser. Have a look at them. Depending on which web browser you use, there'll be different instructions. So just search for the name of the web browser you use and privacy settings, instructions, or something like that. Look around. You can also set up more private settings so that all of this cookie data, which is what allows them to track you, is deleted every time you shut down your browser. There is actually an emerging standard called NoTrack, which some browsers are starting to implement too. And they tell the websites, no, thank you, don't track me. Now, there's no law forcing anyone to follow this yet, but it's starting to look like it might be one of the big privacy issues that could go political over the next year or two.
All right, well, keep an eye. Many thanks for sharing your expertise and enthusiasm and slightly paranoia on this still, Gary. Good to talk
no
to
worries,
you.
Jared.
Take care.
Cheers, anytime.
Thank you. You too.